The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good times.
But so many poor choices. This is the Homance Chronicles, and I am Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
It's the eclipse. It's weird. I don't know.
We're recording on eclipse day.
Yes.
And I'm blaming my migraine and sleepiness on the total eclipse of the sun.
Yes. And I'm going to go ahead and just blame it for my weirdness today. Call it right now. It's fine.
The nice thing is that it's 70 degrees in Michigan
and clear
early April and clear. And so we did get to experience the eclipse, but it was kind of funny in my head. I'm like, we can't just have one nice day. There's gotta be some shit happening. God, whenever there's one nice day.
Stupid fucking once in a 20 year time experience. Get out of here. Hankering for the sun right now, damn it.
It's not that far apart. This eclipse has happened before, like within the last couple of years.
Wasn't it 2017 or something like that? No,
I think even last year too.
No, the total eclipse, I don't remember anymore. Well,
but anyway, it's not a once in 20 years thing though. No. But it did get dark enough here that my sensor lights turned on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Not my house was just creepy. It was like real spoopy. Like I was getting ready to have a tornado come through. But it was kind of funny. So like my neighbors on one side had no preparedness at all. She was just like, I don't know what to do. I couldn't. I'm like, man, just go get a piece of paper, put a pinhole in it, you know, doing that whole thing. And then my neighbor to the other side, her and everybody had glasses and they're all staring at the sun like, you know, robots. It was really funny. And then I was like, how does it look? You know, because I don't have my glasses. I forgot them at my work, at my desk. And they're like, oh, we got an extra pair. I was like, oh, frick yeah. So I got to see it anyway, which is cool. But yeah, it was a funny, like, the last time we did this, I was in California, I think. It was a minute ago. But I'm glad I got to see it. It was pretty neat.
Emma started barking and then immediately passed out. So
none of my animals knew what was going on. It was lovely.
My dog was sensitive to it, I think.
Oh, man. Well,
we're two peas in a pod over here.
Right. So, and in true my life fashion, as I'm looking up at the eclipse and I'm then looking up at other stuff in the air, I see that my chimney is all fucked up. And I immediately have to call a chimney person to come fix it because it's all fucked up. Like the top where the wood meets the top, you know, for the like cage or whatever, it's all rotted away. And there's like marks from heat on it because the wood has rotted all the way through into the chimney. So that's neat. I'm loving this home ownership shit. Really excited about that. Well, I called them today afterwards. Thank you, Eclipse.
I'm surprised that you were able to find somebody and, I don't know what to ask for and did it all so swiftly.
Well, I'm going to attribute this also to the eclipse for this togetherness that I have. And I'm hoping it's a theme from this point forward. But I ended up taking a picture and floating it into the team chat at work. And I was like, hey, anybody know a guy? And two of my coworkers who are dads came back with, you know, some recommendations. So I went with the first one, called them up, and they're like, you know, they're a couple. They do their thing. And I'm all about helping people out who are their little own little small business. And so I went with them because the other one's kind of like a franchise, it seemed. But they have good results, decent prices, and they're available this week to come take a peek, which I'm cool with because if it rains, it's going to rain into my house. And I don't need that in my life. So we're just going to see where we go, where we get that.
Yeah. Hopefully they can, you know, put some bits and pieces back together and then also like check the flashing at the bottom.
No,
it's
bits
always
and
good to just
pieces.
read.
It's gonna be a redo.
Oh no. Well, then they will definitely redo the flashing at the bottom.
Yep, they will absolutely. It's going to be a little bit of a chimney rehab, I think, at this point, because holy crap. I'll send you the picture, actually. And you can see what I'm talking about. Because, I don't know, my neighbor last year next door sent me a picture. She's like, you got a woodpecker. And I was like, but it was on the other side. There, you have it now.
Okay.
When you... Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That must have been the woodpecker.
Other various fuckers.
Dang.
Yep.
That still doesn't look like a whole chimney repair to me, though. Why
no,
are we still talking about
not.
This? Does
well,
nobody
I don't know.
Cares? Do
it
they?
doesn't matter. Point is, that's homeownership. Not fun. We're here now.
And who's your whole history?
Okay. So, today, I don't know why I chose this hoe. I think I was going down the path of women in history and everything was becoming way too academic. I was like, nope, I want somebody who's sassy and fun instead of super serious. And so I ran across Annette. So Annette Maria Sarah Kellerman, a.k.a. Annette Kellerman. She was born July 6, 1886, and she was with us until the late 1900s. She is from Australia. She's a professional swimmer, a film actress, and writer. Look at her go. Okay, so it took me a couple different sources to get all the sass posture from this lady, and I know for a fact I didn't get all of it, but we're going to start. So she was born in New South Wales, Australia, to violinist Frederick William Kellerman and her French mother, Alice Ellen Charbonnet, who was a pianist and music teacher. There wasn't a whole lot of her like upbringing. I don't know if she had siblings. I don't think she did. But when she was younger, she had weak legs due to rickets, and her doctors had her wearing those steel braces to help strengthen her legs. So, yes, vaccinations for things like rickets make sense because they stopped rickets from coming back. Thank you, rickets vaccines. I don't have to deal with it. Neither does anybody else. Her parents also took the doctor's advice to put her into swimming classes to continue to help her strengthen her legs. I think she was right around 6 years old when this started. And by the time she was like a tween, at like 13, her legs were like practically normal. And then by age 15, she had become a swimming boss and won her first
race. This is
race.
Giving me Forrest Gump.
100%. In my brain, if I were to make a video, Forrest and his like braces breaking off would be as I'm talking. Yes, 100%. So
I was like, wait, is this the story of Forrest Gump?
Right. No, she was not swimming in her braces. So she ended up taking up diving as well. So I have to imagine she was just like all around really fucking good. Because by the time she was 15-ish, she won the ladies' 100-yard and mile competition championships of New South Wales in record times. So for the 100 yards... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I have a coworker whose daughter is a swimmer, and she's in college swimming, and she won the mile, and... It was like her last race of her college career or whatever. So she went out with a bang. And he's talking and talking. And I still was stuck on like, she swam a whole mile.
Yeah, she did. You know, I have family like on my dad's side. I'm the only one of the cousins. My sister and I are the only one of the cousins who didn't have exposure to like sports that included some sort of like hockey or swimming situation. But my sister and I can fucking swim. Like, look out. It's too bad we didn't. Olympic champions here. Also, our giant hands and our paddle feet coming for you.
I'm not a good swimmer. So thinking about anything long distance in the
Freaks you
water, I'm just
out.
like, oh, that's way too much work.
Oh, funny. Well, it gets worse for her. You. For no. Doesn't get worse. It gets crazier for her, would be worse for you. So she swam the 100 yards in a minute and 22 seconds, which comparatively speaking, I have no idea, but she set records. And then the mile championship was 33 minutes and 49 seconds, bro. 33 minutes of straight swimming. No.
That's what I'm
So,
saying. Like, ugh.
so much activity.
That's when it's like, you are a true lazy person.
Nah, you just have your strengths in other areas. So, mom and dad, like, you know, your mental Olympics, you're really good at knowing all the pop culture. Yeah.
Okay.
Balance. So, mom and dad moved her over to the, moved to Melbourne, and she went to the Mentone Girls Grammar School where her mother was actually teaching. I don't know what the schooling ages were like back then, or like how many grades that they had, or whatever, because she proceeded to swim at the Melbourne Baths, which was not associated with her school. But by 1902, she started her professional swimming career and performed a mermaid act at Prince's Court Entertainment Center. She was doing two shows a day, swimming with fish in the exhibition aquarium. And then in 1903, in June and July, she was also performing sensational high dives at the Kogi Scenes of Blandhold Spectacular, and the Breaking of Drought at the Melbourne Theatre Royal. So the Breaking of Drought was a silent film. So they did a recreation of it in theater format, and she starred there. And they did have it where she was like swimming and diving at the theater. So it was a huge to-do because it was a lot of work to bring this water tank in for her to perform in. At that around that time, there was another lady called Beatrice Kerr who was actually billed as Australia's champion lady swimmer and diver, and they were apparently rivals. They had beef. No matter how many times though Kerr challenged Kellerman to a race competitively, she was left on red. Kellerman's like, nah, dog, I'm good. Shut the fuck up.
Huh.
Again,
Interesting.
I know, right? Like, I don't know how much older that Kerr was, or you know, why she was so insistent on like beating this woman's ass, but she was never got a chance, I don't believe. So 1905, Pops takes her to London. She's around 19 at this time. It's August 24th, and she's one of the first women to attempt to swim across the English Channel. So we know this has been done a lot of times. I remember in the 90s when we were growing up, a lady swam across the English Channel, and it was on, you know, nightly news with what was his name? Peter Jennings, I think it was. So this is
Say Tom Brokaw.
no almost. So this was certainly not something for the faint of heart back then. If people are still trying to attempt it now, and it's not easy to be done. She tried three separate times. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to make it. She claimed that she had the endurance, but not the brute strength. The first attempt was made by a lady called Walburga von Esseshu. I am fucking that name royally. She attempted in September of 1900. She too was unable to make it, but her issue was apparently seasickness, not being able to make it through. However, later, she and Annette raced at the Danube River Race, which is the Danube is the second longest river in Europe, and Annette beat her in that race. So I imagine that if Annette could have, you know, if that other lady would have made it through whatever to the point of Annette, it would be, have been, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Annette probably would have made it, is my point, moving forward.
Okay, we will not dwell.
Wow. That was hard. My brain hurts. Okay. While she was in London, there was also like people were filming her swimming around, and there were like a short was made of it, and it was taken back to show and shown in like Australian venues. So essentially, it was like, hey, Australia, keep track of your poster child. Look at what she's doing. I imagine it was like more like a news type thing over like a you know, a movie or whatever, like, you know, when people go to the theater to watch news clips or whatever. She also helped to popularize synchronized swimming after a performance in 1907 of the first water ballet in a glass tank in the New York Hippodrome. So she started traveling at that point.
Yeah, she's getting fancy with it.
Well, it gets even better. Let's see. She was a huge advocate for women's rights. She was a huge advocate for exercising and being healthy. And she was an advocate for women in general, just to like be taken as humans and whatever else. So in that time, women had to wear full-length dresses and pant combinations for swimming. And she was absolutely not into it.
I mean, fuck, that was what would hold you back from making it across the English Channel.
Exactly, right? So fuck that.
All that dead weight.
Yes. So I imagine, I don't know what she was wearing, but I imagine it was likely partially due to the fact that she was in this antiquated gear. So she ended up like basically hobbling together a one piece that was like really, you know, revealing at the time. She
had her kneecaps out, so
no, full length wrists to ankles, and even her feet had socks on them. However, it was skin tight, so that was the problem.
Oh,
yes. So
I was thinking that it was more like a bodysuit situation that went down to like the kneecap.
Nope. That was after what she implemented, or like,
oh,
you know, advocated for. So it was a one piece suit. It was a full length. So she apparently wore this at Revere Beach in Boston, Mass, and she claimed it to be arrested for public indecency. Let's see. I'm going to read this verbatim from the site. So she, because some people think she was fibbing. She single-handedly took on societal decorum by creating and appearing in a one-piece fitting suit on the Revere Beach in Boston, Mass. Her suit bared her arms and legs, and she was arrested for indecency. She recalled,
well, see, that's making it sound like you could see skin.
That's where I'm like, there's no real source to say what exactly, so we don't know. It's just from her telling, but the pictures of her suits that they're discussing are in fact what I said earlier. They're the full length over the feet. So she was arrested for indecency. She recalled the 1907 incident in 1953 in an article from the Boston Sunday Globe. The judge was quite nice and allowed me to wear the suit if I would wear a full-length cape to the water's edge. In the same article, she is credited with changing what was acceptable for women to wear at the beach or pool. So regardless of the legitimacy of this, at some point, she had an impact positively on the movement to get women out of the antiquated swimsuits that were, you know, out at the time. She ended up having such like great results with this. At some point, she had her own line of women's wear, and these one-piece swimsuits that she ended up cobbling together were called Annette Kellerman's and are identified as the first step to modern swimwear. So she was at the end of the day the one that offered it to the masses, I guess you could say, which is like fucking cool, right?
Yeah, she's a fashion mogul.
Mm-hmm. Okay, get even crazier funny stuff. So in 1908, there was a study of 3,000 women conducted by Dudley of Sargent of Harvard University. After the survey was conducted, he identified Annette as the perfect woman because of the similarities of her physical attributes to Venus de Milo, the famous Greek statue. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So and then during her later in her acting career, she was often billed as Australia's perfect woman, which I find to be hilarious.
I always thought swimmers' bodies had like broad shoulders.
Yeah, well, she wasn't a built up swimmer, remember? She was just a woman that was really good at swimming. So she didn't have that traditional, I've been swimming since I was six in a competitive nature against men and boys and whatever. It wasn't as aggressive as it is
Yeah,
now.
because
So,
hers really started out as like physical therapy.
yeah. So her physique was very much still feminine at that time. So she was busty too. So that helped.
Oh, yeah. If
So,
you don't
and
have pecs and you have actual boobs and you're a
yeah,
swimmer, yeah.
right. Makes a huge difference. She, in 1909, actually formulated a mail order fitness program with a diet that was included, and about 40,000 women submitted for this. So she was actively trying to have a positive impact on society by providing things for people to take advantage of while she was just being a swim bouse.
She's like pioneering what I think of as like 80s newness. Like the
Yeah.
workout tapes and the at-home stuff that is like advertised to women and sex pot actresses having their own fashion lines and stuff. Like I feel like that was like something that didn't blow up till like the 80s. Like she's a
Yeah.
real like pioneer of this stuff.
Absolutely. I would completely agree with that assessment for sure. So remember, she had her, comparison from the guy from Harvard for her physical attributes. So I guess at some point between then and 1912, there was an article in the New York Times that dubbed her the perfectly formed woman. And she found the label, and I quote, ghastly.
Well,
Ah.
for someone who's
Oh.
fighting for equality,
Yes, right?
that sh
Yes.
you can understand that that would be the response. Especially, it sounds like she was educated, or at least not assuming that everyone's body reacts differently to the types of foods that you have, and whatever your athletic ability is, and what, she seemed to be very like compassionate. And so to choose her as the poster child, she probably was like slightly embarrassed.
Well, she was also a vegetarian, so she was incredibly conscious about exercise, fitness, and her physique, obviously, for
Yeah.
being a swimmer and having all of her body exposed all the time. So it's crazy to me how she kind of like set the tone in a multiple different areas. So in 1911, she actually ended up making it to Broadway in an Aquacade, aka water show, under the title role Undine, and it was performed with the popular musical Vera Violetta, which was an opera. It is an opera that featured Al Jolson, a famous actor from that time. So like, not sure how many times, like, aside from her other aqua performance, how many times Broadway decided to do like a water show to that effect, but it was like a whole ordeal, right? So she was also apparently ahead of her time in that regard, because she also included drag king acts in her shows. She even had a
Damn.
character, yeah, she even had a character called the English Johnny, where she wore a monocle and a tux. So like, she was absolutely super iconic in like progressing, especially from a woman's standpoint, into like modernizing the way we think about ourselves, as well as like how what our roles are in society.
Well, and just what we're capable of.
Yeah, 100%. She also starred, I'm assuming later in that year, she starred in a film called The Mermaid, which was a big deal. So at some point in this time, she also met a man called James Sullivan. He became her manager, and then eventually her husband, because she proposed to him in November of 1912. Or I'm sorry, she proposed, ended up proposing to him, and they were wed November 1912 in Connecticut. By then, she was also dubbed that, the perfectly formed woman. So like, things are happening for her in this time frame. And she
Do
was
you
a
know what
vaudeville.
the guy did?
He was her manager, so he worked in Hollywood.
Oh, Holly. Okay,
Yeah.
gotcha.
Vaudeville acting and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
So she's acclimating all of this fame, notoriety, really just living her best life. And I'll just, no children were ever had. I'm just going to get that out of the way right now. She never had any kids. Nothing crazy, no, scandalous abortions, none of that. Nothing popped that I could find. So her and her husband just continued to do what they did best: star in movies, manage starring in movies. In 1916, she's the first major actress to appear nude in a scene for a movie called Daughter of the Gods, made by Fox Film Corporation. It was absolutely the first multi-million dollar film production. However, there is no copies that exist known to man today, making it a lost film. So I don't know if folks know, but at some point in Hollywood, I don't remember what time it was, there was a major fire and film was insanely flammable at that time. And so we lost as a society a large amount of history in that film because none of those films had copies, or they were the only versions of it. So unfortunately, there was no backup for that one, so it's a lost film.
Damn. So it was a multi-million dollar production, but we don't know how much it made.
Correct. We could know how much it made. Those records might be available still, but the film itself is not
Was,
available to
yeah,
watch, right?
right. I'm just like, I wonder if it made its money back, because that's really the only way that they determine success in Hollywood. Right.
Right,
You can
but
have a multi-million dollar production, and if it doesn't
I
make the money, then it's a flop.
think by the fact that she was in it and all the stuff that
And
happened
naked.
up until that point, yeah, it didn't matter. Like, it was a sensation. There were so many
Okay.
firsts, right? So during her career, a majority of her films, of course, had the aquatic theme adventure or aquatic adventure theme for her to go through. She did perform all of her own stunts. One includes diving into the sea from like 92 feet. Another was diving into a pool full of crocodiles from 60 feet. So you can imagine, like, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da.
Fearless.
And a lot of other times, she would play a mermaid. A mermaid role was like primarily what she ended up playing. And a lot of the times, the mermaid's name would be Annette or some variation of it because of who she was. She was literally the only mermaid known to man. She was like Ariel before Ariel, basically.
Well, you know, she had a body of a goddess, but could wade through the sea. So what else are you gonna typecast me as?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, she called her fairy tale films, and it actually did all start off with The Mermaid from 1911. She was the first actress to wear a mermaid costume that she could swim in for the film. So, remember back then, films were made in like just a few months. There wasn't a lot of editing to be had, and a lot of the stuff they had film-wise, or I'm sorry, costume-wise, was temperamental, if you will. So when they came out with this movie and she was able to physically swim in her costume, this was like, holy shit, we can do this. It paved the way for women in the future to play mermaids, including Daryl Hannah in Splash, which, let's be
I
honest,
was obsessed.
obsessed.
I don't know how many times I watched that movie when I was a kid.
I'm so glad you said that because I'm fairly certain that movie was viewed 1 kabillion times in my life because I wanted to be fucking Daryl Hannah so bad. And like, it's a good movie on top of
Also
it.
had a little bit of it. Like, I was not into unicorns, I was into mermaids.
Right.
I was on the
Those were
mermaid path.
interchangeable for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why mermaids were so
Because you
obsessive.
live under the water, you breathe under the water, you have fish friends, you don't have to work. Come on. I mean, it makes sense. It just makes sense.
All right. So I just Googled Annette Kellerman and like the first picture that pops up. Yeah. She's like body yaddy yaddy, right? Like
yeah. for days.
Like
she's a baddie. She's the OG baddie in my head. Like,
but surprisingly, she is thicker than I expected.
Yeah, no, she was voluptuous. Like if you look at her from the Venus movie where she was nude in that scene, like if you take out the era concept and if you were just to say let's zhuzh this up a little bit, colorize it, and pretend like it was shot like this year, it would pass for body. Nicole's in it now.
Well, because nowadays the bodies that get termed, I mean, I guess we don't really do body of the year kind of stuff anymore, but you would have like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model of the year, right?
Yeah.
And they've even now started branching out. Like since Me Too, I think they've been like, oh, maybe we should put somebody on here who's like a size 10, maybe, or, you know,
there's more than one body. Yeah.
But traditionally, much slimmer. Much slimmer, well, right?
Like
so this gives me Marilyn Monroe vibes of body preferences.
Yes.
And that, you know, it's all right to have a little extra bit in the hips and whatnot.
Yeah, no, we are totally fucked up by our heroin chic upbringing in the 90s.
The Diet Coke and Coke.
Yes. if you feel me, if you're catching my drift.
Diet Coke and cigarette diet. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, she's a baddie. And she went on to design her own mermaid costumes, even making some of them herself. So I like to think that before she came onto the scene, mermaids were pretty much naked from the, you know, the chest up, and fish from the, you know, waist down, like sirens were typically portrayed. She ended up developing a costume that had like, you know, little starfish for nipple covers and stuff like that. Like she was kind of the one that sort of started playing around with that and popularized it. And the Weekiwachee Springs, which is a place in Florida, actually still wear costumes that are similar to the designs that she developed.
I was just going to ask you if you watched any of the mermaid documentary on Netflix.
Not yet.
Okay.
Is it
the majority of it takes place at the Weekiwachee or whatever, however you pronounce it, that place in Florida. They follow these people around who are through and through dedicated being mermaids. They have a whole casting process for the shows of you having to prove your physical abilities.
Wow.
And like how long you can stay underwater, all that kind of stuff, right? And like going there and performing there is like their Super Bowl, like their gold medal.
Their Mecca?
Like,
their Mecca. That's fucking awesome. I love this. And now I'm going to go watch it.
I didn't finish it. I started watching it actually when I was in Greece.
Of course, as one does.
Well, no, it was just like there were only the availability of things was different because I was in a different country.
Right, it was an appropriate theme.
And so I watched this Mer People documentary. I watched like 3 episodes and I was just like, oh my God, these people are so committed. They're so out of their minds. Like
now it's like a reality TV show. It's like 90 Day Fiancé-ish esque for me.
It is. I need to watch it. Is. And like it's a small community and they all know each other. And a lot of them are doing other wretched side gigs just to survive because they are wanting to afford their mermaid life. Yeah. And these costumes are insane. And there's a gay guy who designs costumes and he's like the best of the best. And if you can get a tail that he's made, then like you are it.
So I follow a profile. I think it's called Finfolk Productions or something similar to that. Don't quote me, not sponsored. Definitely just something I'm in passing. I watch. And the amount of artistic effort, I guess, that goes into designing and developing these tails is incredible. Each
No,
one of
they're like
these,
10 grand
yeah,
or
and
like higher.
yes, that's like a, it's a full-on silicone tail prepared for exactly that one person. And like some are hand painted, hand airbrushed, hand
All
glittered.
of
And it's
his
like,
are.
holy fuck, man. It's insane. So everybody go watch, get into it. You're welcome.
Mer people. I don't even know if I would have finished it though, like if I was at home, like because they are just so on another planet. But it
That's
was
amazing.
fascinating for the couple episodes that I watched.
Yeah. See, the only reality TV show I felt like maybe I shouldn't keep watching this because it's giving me the ick is MILF Manor. That one just, it looks like old ladies preying on young men, and I couldn't. But all these other shit shows, I'm in. I'm down to watch. So, all right, but back to Annette. It's her time.
Yeah,
Her time to shine.
sorry. That
No, you're
Florida
good.
detail really took me on a different path.
Triggered. Okay, so she also starred in a film called The Queen of the Seas in 1918, but it's another one of the lost films. Sadly, but there's a picture of her and then on the Wikipedia page from that film, and it's like you have to admire the ingenuity for her costume. Like she did her best. You know what I mean? I love it. She also at this time was continuing to publish like books and articles and shit. So in 1818, she published a book called How to Swim. She published another in 1919 called Physical Beauty, How to Keep It.
How much you want to bet she says wear sunscreen?
100%. Did they even have sunscreen back then? I don't know. I don't know.
Some sort of sun protection, I'd hope.
Maybe it's the whole One Piece. Anyway, there's one feature film, and it's the only feature film starring Kellerman known to exist that was restored by the Library of Congress in 2004, called Venus of the South Seas, and from 1924. It was a joint production between the US and New Zealand. It's 55 minutes of color and underwater scenes. So we can, in fact, go see that movie. But I do believe the majority, or if not all of the other movies that she was in, were lost in the fire. I know. So in 1926, she published another book called Fairy Tales of the South Seas, and it was for children. And then she had an unpublished autobiography. At some point, she also owned a health food store in Long Beach or San Diego, somewhere along those lines. As she was a lifelong vegetarian and health activist, she was active in insanely active well into her old age. She swam and exercised the entire time, almost every day. At some point, her and her husband were done with the States and they moved back to Australia. And that was in 1970. It was in 1974 that she was honored by the International Swimming Hall of Fame in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Come to her husband passing away in November of 1975. In 6 days later, she was in the Southport Hospital in Queensland, Australia. She passed at the age of 89. So they lived together, they loved each other, they had a whole life together, and they passed around the same time. She didn't have to live without him for too long. She was cremated and her ashes were scattered over the Great Barrier Reef. Like I said earlier, no children. A lot of her stuff from acting was sent or bequeathed to the Sydney Opera House, and people are able to see them there and at the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and there were two mermaid movies about her. One, Million Dollar Mermaid in 1952. She was portrayed by Esther Williams. And another award-winning Australian documentary called The Original Mermaid. It was produced in 2002. Australia also has a road named after her. And in 2016, X Swimwear, a line of custom-made swim swimsuits, etc., made to measure swim line, launched a suit called the Kellerman after her. So thank you to Wikipedia, nfsa.gov.au, and recollections.biz for giving me all of my information today. Yeah. She also established a chain of health spas. I forgot to mention that.
That she actually... yeah, in her spare time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she she also lectured. She gave lectures. I forgot to mention that.
Of course she would, though. She wrote books. So, yeah, she's going to do a tour. And
yeah.
She's all about educating people. So yep. I get it.
On exercise routines and breathing and relaxation techniques as well. So she had.
She was an influencer before influencers. Like, that's what I'm saying. She earned her like Real Housewife status, but then turned it into everything that like Real Housewives do with like their own, like now it's like your own liquor brand or your own lingerie right. brand or whatever, you know, like she really found a way to keep her career going, because obviously if you're going to do something physical as your career choice, it is only going to last you so long.
Right. I agree. So she started her career. I'm sorry, I'm going back now. She started her Hollywood career in 1909. I believe that's when she also met her husband at that time. So she had a couple of years of like the dating with him as well, which I love. I love the fact that, excuse me, she and her hubs were in love and there was no drama there.
Oh, yeah. The crazy thing to me is that she gets named the best female form or female physique or whatever, the ideal body, but yet she was still the one who proposed. No, my guy,
right?
My guy, you've got the perfect
literally. Maybe he was afraid. So going back over my notes, I missed this part. She did end up setting a record for covering 3/4 of the distance in 10.5 hours across the English Channel. So she did set a record, even though she didn't end up making it all the way across. And then her record for swimming underwater was 3 minutes and 27 seconds. So
no,
she had absolutely no issue competing against men because she often won while she raced them.
Who can hold their breath for 3.5 minutes underwater? That's crazy.
Humans do it today, still to this day. But like,
well, yes. Obviously, I know there's people who do it. But like, why are you testing it?
Because they can. What the fuck? Why not? So, yes. Thank you, Annette. Thank you for being the busty bad bitch that you were. Thank you for pushing society to do better.
And for us to wear less while we swim, for heaven's sake. Can you imagine?
We can wear less.
I'm already a bad swimmer, and then I got a whole ass skirt and pants weighing me down.
Right, because you know they didn't have the athletic, light athletic wear that we have now. It was like fucking canvas and cotton. I don't even imagine they were allowed to wear linen because it was likely too revealing. So fucking stupid.
They're in there in wool.
Yeah, come God. On. Oh, makes me itchy thinking about it.
But yeah, I mean, this was like pre-Lycra days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the net. Isn't that fun? That was a good one. I like
that. That was fun. That was a good one. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And you just stumbled upon her from your Google searches?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I don't remember what I even searched. I think I typed like wild badass women in history or some shit like that. Because, you know, I was going to, because the eclipse today, I was like thinking, wow, I'll find some lady who did something. And then I kept coming across.
Oh, like an astronomer or something. Yeah, and you don't even know how to say half the words.
Yeah. And I kept coming across all these women who are like 50 years of lifetime achievements. And I'm like, I know what I got time for that. But also, I didn't want such heavy, deep reading. I wanted something light and fun. Something that everybody could, you know, relate to in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and that killed it, man.
She sure the fuck did. So, shout out to you, Annette Kellerman, the OG influencer and OG mermaid.
Right? Wow.
No
Mind
kidding.
blowing stuff.
Yeah, for real.
If you just rewind our episode by 35 minutes where I talk about not even wanting to swim a full mile.
Exactly. Wonder how many miles that woman swam in her lifetime.
She's, you know, breaking records for spending 10 hours swimming consecutively.
No big deal.
Oh boy.
Uh-huh.
Well, is it Atta Girl time?
I do believe it is Atta Girl time, yes. Are you ready?
I don't have one off the top of my head, so I'm going to defer to you. But first, an Atta Girl is where we pat ourselves on the back for something good that we've done or something good that's happened to us. So, I don't know. Do you have one ready?
I do. Let's see. I cleared out my garage yesterday, and then I've gotten to a point with my like chores where I've gotten into this really great groove and routine, which I'm super thankful for. And then just like being able to reschedule all the things I'm doing during the week. I didn't have like ADHD hesitation. I just blasted through all of it and got it done. And I'm like very proud of myself. I had another one that wasn't all those, but I just simply cannot fucking remember it at the moment. I just need to start writing these down.
Keeping Atta Girl's notes.
Yeah.
I will do my Atta Girl as over the weekend, there were two brunches that I attended, but not only did I attend them, I coordinated them. And
yeah. You sure did.
I don't even think either of them were originally my idea.
No, they weren't. The one on Saturday was my idea.
So shout out to all the friends in the group who are the coordinators.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
So,
which, again, I would have probably done it had I noticed I wasn't doing it, but I didn't notice.
Well, you know, text went out to the group saying, Where do we want to go or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I let it linger. And then I was like, okay, nobody's going to suggest anything, so I guess I will. So then, since I then started doing the looking up of places for Saturday, I was like, well, I might as well do Sunday. So,
perfect. I love it. Thank you.
Pat's on the back for me.
Yep. Shout out to you. Atta Girl. For coordinating socialization that we all desperately fucking needed.
I know, right? Well, and the crazy part is that I feel like I have enough going on. Like, I basically have like three jobs and I have this house project and other social plans, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm like, why am I taking the role of coordinator?
Because naturally.
Because I'm a Virgo and I can't help myself.
But also subconsciously, you miss all of us. I'm just going to throw that out there. So
I do miss my friends. I love spending time with my friends. And I always want it to happen. And so maybe that is at the core of like, well, if the plan doesn't come to fruition, then
we don't see each other.
Then we just might not hang out, I guess. Right. I don't know.
No, I'm here for it. So again, thank you for coordinating because my happy ass didn't see the text message in time. My shit just gets lost. So thanks. Thank you. What the You're fuck welcome. Else was I gonna say? There was another legitimate Atta Girl that I had. I do not recall what it was.
Well,
oh well.
When you do remember, write it down, then you have one for next week.
One day I'll remember if I remember at all. It is what it is. Anyway. Yep.
If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And if you have a hoe of history that you'd like to request, you can email us at homancepodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. We also have our closed group, the Homance Chronicles Judgment Free Zone on Facebook. Yeah, that's all the ways you can talk to us.
Yeah, that's it.